Morning. Today's daf is Vav in Eruvin, and we are at the two dots on the bottom. The previous Amud yesterday was a challenging daf. Yesterday, really, we got our first taste of Eruvin and the visual challenges of Eruvin. You really you need pictures and visual aids to get us through the daf. But basically, the basic discussion of yesterday's daf was how deep does a mavui need to be? As I mentioned yesterday, one of the fundamental differences of a mavui versus a chatzar, both of them are closed areas, both of them are reshus hayachid, but with a mavui there's an allowance, there's a special dispensation, and that is that even though you have an entire area of the mavui that's facing the reshus rabim and open and exposed to the reshus rabim, and normally by a chatzar you would need a significant wall in order to be able to carry in the chatzar, but within the mavui, all you need to do is just put a stick at the edge of the mavui, or put a beam, a one tefach wide beam over the top of the mavui, and that would be enough. And then you'd be allowed to carry within the mavui. You have to do other things as well, shituf mivos, but just right now we're just talking about just a correction, the tikkun of the mavui. Okay, that was yesterday's daf, and we had a machlokis yesterday between the Amoraim. How deep does it have to be? Does it have to be four tefachim? Does it have to be four amos? Machlokis between Abai and Rav Yosef. Abai was of the opinion that it has to be four amos. Rav Yosef says four tefachim. Okay, that all goes back to yesterday's daf. Today's daf, very basic daf today, very important daf today in terms of definitions of what a Rishus HaRabim is, and the allowance to make an Eruv in a Rishus HaRabim. That's coming up in just a bit. But in the meantime, however, we are now still on the topic of Mavui and discussing what would compromise a Mavui and make it lose its status as a Mavui. The Gemara begins on the bottom of Hamad Beis. Amrav Chanan Barav Amrav Mavui Shenifratz Mitzido Be'eser Meirosho Bedalid. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rav the following halacha, that if I have a Mavui and there's a breach on the side of the Mavui. Now, I'm prepared today. I got pictures for us to look at right now. We're going to be looking at the picture right above me. So, and by the way, I drew a sketch on the board. If you have a picture book, it's all in the picture book. So all these pictures, but just so that we can all be on the same page and look at the same thing. So, I have the following mavui diagram ahead of me, on top of me. Mitzido just simply means along the side wall of the mavui. Mirosho means the front of the mavui. Now, mitzido, I guess it means also that there's no chatzer over here, or it could be that there's a chatzer on this side. Either way, a breach on the side wall has to be 10 amos long in order for it to be compromised, meaning in order for the mavui to lose its status as a mavui. Anything short of 10 amos, 10 amos is obviously a very large area, a very wide area. You're talking about 15 to 20 feet. But if you have a breach greater than 10 amos, so then that compromises the mavui, and no longer can the mavui just simply be rectified with a simple stick on the front of it. Meirosho, from the front of the mavui, so in other words, front of the mavui, means that there must be some sort of wall in the front over here, and there's a breach over here, does not have to be as large in order to compromise the mavui. In fact, over here, meirosho, it's only dalet. When the Gemara says dalet over here, it means dalet tfachim. I told you, my trick doesn't work when the Gemara uses just a letter. But over here, it's the Dal Tfachim. If I have Dal Tfachim opening in the front, so that compromises the Mavui. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. So let's try to figure this out. Meaning from the side, a large breach as wide as 10 amos is going to compromise the integrity of the Mavui. So Damar Pischahu. Because up to 10 amos, it's not going to compromise the integrity of the mavui, because what is it? Anything short of 10 amos is just another entrance. Okay, you're allowed to make entrances. Entrances never compromise a wall. A wall always remains a wall, as long and by definition, there's traffic going in, traffic going out. So that's just simply an entrance. So mirosho nami name epischahu. So the Gemara wonders, okay, I get that. But what I don't get then is then why, if the breach is at the front wall of a mavui, there, according to Rav, it's a four tefach breach. Anything greater than four tefachim is going to negate the mavui? That doesn't make any sense. Let's make the same argument. Let's just simply say we've created for ourselves a new Pesach. So Amar Rav Huna Bereid, Rav Yeshua, Kegosh, Nefrat, Bekeren, Zavis. So the Gemara says that's such a good point, that what we're going to have to suggest is the following. We assumed going into this discussion that the breach came right at the front over here, and then we just didn't understand. So just simply call that a Pesach. Much like I would call a breach over here a Pesach, as long as that doesn't exceed 10. So let's make the same argument over here. The Gemara says, you're right. Point well taken. We are not talking about a breach in the direct front. We're talking about Karen Zavis. The breach took place right over here at the corner. And what's the difference now between the corner versus side or front? Now that we're making such a distinction. So the Gemara says, the Pitzcha b'Karen Zavis law of the Inshi. Because we can't call that a Pesach. Meaning a Pesach does not exist in the corner. One house recently I saw where the front entrance doorway was literally on the corner of the house. Okay, but in other words, but it's just legally speaking, from a halachic standpoint, any opening on the corner cannot be called an opening. It doesn't have the status of a Pesach. And so therefore, once we have a breach, and once the breach exceeds four tvachim, as we've said time and again, is a significant area. It's a makam chashav. So once I have a breach of four tvachim that's in the corner, so then that compromises the mavui. The mavui no longer is rectifiable by just a simple stick on the front entrance, because now it has a pirtza, it has a breach. Mavui has now been compromised, and therefore the mavui is no good. However, if the breach was on the side or on the front of the mavui, so then you have an allowance of up to 10 amos. V'chein amalei Rav Huna l'Rav Chanan bar Rava. Rav Huna says to... did I skip an important line? Yes, I did. Okay, good. That's all the opinion of Rav. Now, by the way, I keep saying Rav and Rav again and again. It's not Rav who told us this. It's Rav Chanan bar Rava in the name of Rav. I make that point now because you'll see in just a moment who's going to argue Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna was a student of Rav, so obviously what we're going to basically be arguing is what did Rav actually say? Okay. Rav Huna amar echazev, echazev ba'ar ba'am. Rav Huna says, no, a breach in the wall is going to compromise the integrity of the mavui, even if it's four tfachim. And he's not talking about the corner, he's talking about the side, he's talking about the front. Any pirtza, any breach that is four tfachim, negates the mavui. V'chein amalei Rav Huna l'Rav Chanan bar Rava. And now we're going to have a debate between Rav Huna, student of Rav, and Rav Chanan bar Rava, who apparently also was a student of Rav. And Rav Huna says, lo tiflog alai. So he says, you have no right to argue with me. Why? Deravik lele damcharia. Because Rav went to a town, damcharia. And avaduv de kavasi. And there was a mavui over there. And there was a breach in the wall in the mavui. And the breach exceeded four tfachim. And not in the corner. Either was on the side or was on the front. And what Rav ruled over there in that town is no good. Mavui is no good. Patch up the hole in the wall. And until you patch up the hole in the wall, mavui is not rectifiable. So Rav Huna says, I got the best evidence in the world. I actually know that Rav went to a town and ruled that four tfachim pirtza in a mavui compromises the integrity of the mavui, negates the status of the mavui. What better proof can you get than that? So Amar Lei, Rav Chanan says back to Rav Huna, no. Just because in one instance Rav ruled a certain way does not mean that he fundamentally agrees with that position. Rav Bika Matzav Vegadar Bageder, when Rav went to the town of Damchari, he saw that they were lax on the halachas of Erevin. Take a look at Rashi, Bika Matzav, Ame Ha'aratzim Hayu. So the people over there were not so educated in Damcharia. Umizazalim Be Mitzvos. By the way, Rashi describes it was a general laxity of mitzvos. Vehichmir Aleim Laso Siag, Ulaharchikam Min Ha'avera, Ka'adam agoder bika prutza l'shomra. Right, just like when you have a garden that needs extra protection, so what do? So you fortify the fence. Here, both figuratively and literally, that's exactly what Rav had to do. Rav had to in this case, it's both. You can understand me both in the figurative sense and the literal sense. Rav had to go there and patch things up. They were not that careful about their performance of halacha. So he went into the town of Damcharia and he said, look, normally it's a four tefachim breach in the wall. It's not a big deal. It's not enough to invalidate. It's just simply a Pesach. But because I'm sure he didn't explain all this. But now we're analyzing, we're understanding. But because your general laxity in mitzvos, so therefore I'm going to be extra machmir upon you, and I'm going to say that this mavu is invalidated. And apparently, I mean, it only works if they listen to him, but apparently they did. Okay, so but Rav Chanan's point is that, no, that's not how Rav fundamentally holds. Rav fundamentally holds that appearance of up to 10 amos from either the front or the side is not going to be a pirtza. It must exceed 10 amos before the mavui loses status of a mavui. Only in the corner like we described over there, is a four tefach opening going to negate the status of the mavoi, and the story with Damcharia was specific to Damcharia. Amrav Nachman Maria Rav Yitzchak Kavas the Rav Huna Mistabra. It makes the most logical sense to go like Rav Huna. For what reason? De'inmar mavoi yakum, because of the following. We now go to one of the main cases of today, the one that we're going to be discussing at length today, and that's Mavui Akum, a bent Mavui. Okay, so it's an El Mavui, right? I have it over there to my right, to your left. Now, in this case of Mavui Akum, so look, our classic Mavui is one that goes straight through the town. Okay? Straight through the Chatzar. And basically opens up on one end. Now, from the beginning of the Masechta, we know that there are two types of mavui. There's a mavui sasum, mavui mefulash. Mavui sasum, closed mavui, which means it's surrounded by three walls. Mavui mefulash, it goes through. Rishus HaRabim on one side, Rishus HaRabim on the other side. Here, mavui akum. Mavui akum means that it's bent. Now, what do I do with such a mavui? Meaning, I'd like to rectify it. I'd like to be able to carry in the mavui. Really, we are touching a fundamental issue over here, and that's the following. When I have such a mavui, so there really are two ways to look at it, this particular mavui. One way we could look at it is that it's really one mavui with a bend. Or another way to look at it is that really it's two mavuis. This is one singular mavui, and this is one singular mavui. So the Gemara is going to now have a debate between Rav and Shmuel in terms of how exactly are we going to be able to look at it. And based on how we're going to look at it, what exactly can we do, if anything, to rectify this situation? So the Gemara quotes, Mavui Akum, Rav Amar, Tarasa Kimifulash. What I just explained, meaning how we're going to look at it. If it's one Mavui going all the way through, that's called Mavui Mefulash. Then it's going all the way through. If it's two separate Mavui, so then that's called Mavui Sasam. Okay, we'll see. Tarasa Kimifulash. So Rav says that this is a Mavui Hamifulash. Okay? And that means that it's going all the way through, so that means it's basically end to end. It's very similar to a Mavui that's not bent, where it's open on both sides. Now, important Rashi over here, Rashi Tarasa Kimifulash. It looks like it goes all the way through. Rashi writes, Mavui Hamifulash L'Rishus HaRabim Tzuras Pesach Mikan. So Rashi says, look, if it were a regular mavui mefulash, right here, chaser here, chaser here, and here's my mavui. In a classic mavui mefulash, tzuras pesach over here, okay, forgive the arc, but you understand, right? Tzuras pesach just simply means two posts and a lintel over the top, and then either a lechi or a korah over here. This is how you would rectify a mavui mefulash. A mavui that goes all the way through. So, according to Rav, this is a mavui mefulash. Now, interesting, Rashi says, so what do you do over here in order to correct? So you put Tzuras HaPesach over here on the corner, presumably on a 90 degree, sorry, on a 45 degree, from here to here, and then you'll put a lechi over here, and then you'll put a lechi over here. Interesting, what you could have argued is that if this is a mavui mefulash, much like this is a mavui mefulash, perhaps, in other words, put the lechi over here, put the Tzuras HaPesach over here. Okay, interesting, but what I'm doing over here is drawing it up like Rashi explained. Huh? No. In other words, once it's mefulash, one side has to be closed off. And halachically speaking, the Tzuras HaPesach is what closes it off. Tzuras HaPesach creates an actual wall. I mean actual. Meaning it's a wall. It legally stands now as a wall. And so therefore, the only rectification that's needed now is just simply a lech on the other side. Here, in this case, with our mavui akum, the bent mavui, so Rav says it's the same status. And then in terms of how to fix it, so Rashi gives an interesting viewpoint, which is Tzuras HaPesach on the break, on the angle.
Which creates two mavui.
Agreed. So, right, it's confusing now because on one hand it's a mavui that goes through, and at the same time, according to Rashi, we seem to be looking at it from two different ends. Okay. And then, that's Rav's position, and Shmuel Amar, Taraso Kisasum. And Shmuel says, no, it's a closed Mavoi. Meaning from Shmuel's standpoint, we're going to be looking at it from two different Mavois. Now, in other words, here, let's remove all of our gadgets. According to Shmuel, look, here's the Rishus Rabbim. I am walking into this Mavoi. This is a singular Mavoi. Okay, and look, just like if I took away the source of Pesach and I created a wall here in the back. No longer is this a Mavoi Mefulash, now this is a Mavoi Sasam. It's a closed Mavoi. And all I need is a Lechi over here. So Shmuel says, same thing over here, meaning I have wall number one, wall number two, wall number three. Now, what's this little thing over here? What are we going to call that? Call it a Pesach. It's another...
It's a link.
Right, it's an egress of the Mavoi. It's a way to get in, it's a way to get out. But fundamentally, says Shmuel, this is a singular Mavoi. And all I need, therefore, is just to put a little Lechi over here and you're fine. Similarly, from this standpoint, same thing. One wall, two wall, three walls. What's this over here? So this over here is just, it's a little egress. It's a way of accessing in and out of the Mavoi. No different than if I had a doorway over here, which of course I'm going to have. And no different than if I had a doorway over here, which of course I'm going to have. This is the same thing. So Shmuel says, it is a Mavoi Sasam, and so therefore all I need was just simply be a Lechi to rectify. This is a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel.
As long as that's less than eight.
Oh, now. Okay, good. So now, the Gemara addresses our next point, which is the following. Very good. So Rav Amatarasika Mefulash, Shmuel Amatarasika Sasam, Memaiskinan. Now, Ilei Mamiyosa Be'aser, Bahalei Meshmuel Tarasika Sasam. So the Gemara says, look, in this entire discussion, I didn't say it, but now of course I will, because the Gemara just did. What kind of distance are we talking about from here to here? It can't be that the distance over here is greater than 10 amos. Let me just write 11, just to make the point clear. And it can't be that the distance between here and here is also going to be 11 amos. It can't be, because if this were 11 amos and this were 11 amos, then now let's look at our Mavoi. What do I have? And we're going to look at it from the perspective of Shmuel. So here I have now wall number one, wall number two, wall number three. But now what I have is I have a break from here to here. And the break over here exceeds 10 amos. It's an 11 amos break. And as we learned, according to everybody, once there's a breach in the side of the Mavoi that exceeds 10 amos, according to everybody, the Mavoi is no longer good. It's a compromised Mavoi. So it can't be that the distance of this and this is 11 amos. So now...
Why it has to be at the very beginning? It could be just at the bend.
I understand that, but we're going to assume straight lines. You're right. We can weave in and out, but let's assume straight lines. So instead of making everything 11, I'm just going to make it 9. Again, just to make it clear, that's less than 10 amos. Okay, 10 amos is also good, but I'm just going to show 9. So it has to be that we're talking over here about 9 amos. 9 amos over here, 9 amos over here, 9 amos over here. Now we're good. Meaning now, wall 1, wall 2, wall 3, and this over here, it's a Pesach, it's an entrance. That's the opinion of Shmuel. Now, we just want one more moment, because this part over here now is the whole point and the whole reason why the Gemara introduced this case. So the Gemara says it's 10. Now I said 9. We're making the same point. In other words, it's 10 or less. The Ka'amar Rav Torasu Kemefulash. And yet, even though the Mavoi is only 10 amos wide, nevertheless, Rav says, how am I going to view this? Rav says, I'm going to view this Mavoi as a Mavoi Mefulash. It is a Mavoi that goes all the way through, from this end to this end. And the only way to rectify it is with a Tzuras HaPesach. So the Gemara now has officially made its point, which is that you see Rav looks at this Mavoi and calls it a Mavoi Mefulash. And why is he called a Mavoi Mefulash? because I have an opening over here. And from this end, you look close on a mavoi mafulosh because I have an opening over here. And even though the opening is 10 amos, nevertheless, Rav says, it's still a mavoi mafulosh. So now the Gemara's argument is, Rav Huna's got to be right. When I go back to my original case over here, and I'm asking the question, what compromises a mavoi? What kind of opening on the side, pierce on the side, compromises a mavoi? It's got to be, according to Rav, anything, even if it's 10 amos, which normally we would call a Pesach, that will compromise a mavoi, because you see over here, it compromised each mavoi. And the only way that I'd be able to carry in this mavoi is only with Suras HaPesach over here, Lechi here, Lechi here. That's the only way we could do it. Now, we could make that argument. In fact, just in a moment, I'm going to show you that some people do make that argument. But for the time being, however, this is how I'm going to present it.
Suras HaPesach over here is
going to
be more than
10. Suras HaPesach, once we have Suras HaPesach, so then Suras HaPesach can be wider than 10 amos and higher than 20 amos, right? In other words, Suras HaPesach creates an actual enclosure. Now, you knew this already, because when we make our Suras HaPesach around our city, so obviously it's much wider than 10 amos and sometimes much higher than 20 amos. So that's fine. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? So it must be that Rav Huna must have the correct version of Rav, which is that when you have a mavui, we'll go back to the beginning of today, when you have a mavui with a breach on the side, and the breach on the side is anything greater than 4 tfachim, meaning, I know we're talking about 10 amos, but the point is that at any point in time it's greater than 4 tefachim, that's considered a pirtza, compromises a mavui, and I cannot rectify the mavui with a simple lechir korah. Good. Now, that's all wonderful. What if you're Rav Chanin bar Rava? What's your defense going to be? Your defense is going to be the following, and the Gemara spells it out. Rav Chanin bar Rava shani hasam dekabake be rabim. So Rav Chanin bar Rava says, look, I would not compare this case to this case. It's not fair. It's not a fair comparison. Again, let me just remove my source of Pesach. And why can't I compare the two? Because over here, there may be a breach on the wall. And let's even call this breach a total of 10 amos. Let's even go to that extent. But so what? Meaning, this 10 amos breach is nothing more than just simply a Pesach. It's an opening. Over here, I can't view this opening, even if it's 10 amos, let's call it 10 amos, even if this opening from end to end is 10 amos, I can't just simply call that a Pesach, because remember, I have a Rishus HaRabim here, a Rishus HaRabim over here. So you know what that creates? Traffic. Creation of traffic over here can't just simply look at this as just an opening. It's much more than an opening, because it allows people to cut through here, come out here, and end up over here. Right, how many times are you tempted at the stop sign to go through the gas station? Right, you know you're not going to do it. But in other words, over here, Bakke Bay Robin, there's traffic that's created. So I can't compare this scenario over here where it's a regular mavui, and there's no traffic. Over here, it's a mavui with an opening, but that opening obviously acts as over here, and that creates traffic. I cannot compare the two cases. Right. Over here, it's not just adjacent to Rishus HaRabim, it allows people to travel through. Shani Hasan to call Bakke Be'Rabim. Now, Mechlal, the Rav Huna Savar, Afagav Dula Bakke Be'Rabim. So the Gemara says, well, okay, now let's just simply compare the two positions. Meaning, if our defense of Rav Chanan, who's quoting Rav, is that this case is different than this case because in this case there's traffic, and in this case there's no traffic, so that must mean that according to Rav Huna, who obviously argues, in this case over here, even when there's no traffic, it's still going to compromise the mavoi. Why should that be? Maishna midrabi amiv rav asi. How is it different than yesterday's daf? In yesterday's daf, we quoted Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, and we pointed out that if you have a breach on the side, it's not going to compromise the integrity of the mavoi. So, right, remember yesterday's case, we had a breach on the side, and we said in yesterday's daf that as long as I have just still significant piece of wall over here, so then, and I have, right, and I have a breach on the side, Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi said the Mavui is fine. So now you want to put Rav Huna, today's daf, against Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi, yesterday's daf? How could you do that? To which the Gemara's answer is, Hasam Dika Gedude, Hachadaleka Gedude. The Gemara says it's a little bit different because, and yes, although the Gemara didn't make this point yesterday, but now the Gemara's making that. In the case of Rabbi Amin, Rabbi Asi, it's not an absolutely open breach. In other words, and it's hard to show this from the top, but there's still some remnant of wall running along the bottom of the side of the wall. So in other words, it's not a perfect break in the wall. There's still just a rim, a little edge of wall remaining on the bottom. And so therefore the wall has not been fully compromised. Therefore the mavui hasn't been fully compromised. Over here, however, what Rav Huna is arguing is that if the breach in the wall is a complete breach in the wall going all the way down to the ground, once the breach exceeds more than four tefachim, now you've compromised the mavui. Okay, so let's just quickly review. That is the end of the first part of today's daf. Okay, so question now is a very simple question. It really started off our whole day, which is, at what point am I going to have a compromised mavui? When I have a breach on the front wall or the side wall, at what point is the mavui going to be compromised? We all agree, this goes back to the beginning of today's daf, that if the breach occurred in the front corner of the mavui, nobody can call that a Pesach. Once the breach of the front corner exceeds four tefachim, so the mavui is going to be compromised, it's not going to be a good mavui. And I cannot rectify it with a simple lechi o kora. But if I have a breach either on the front or on the side, at what point is it going to be considered a compromised mavui? So Rav Huna, no, let's start off with Rav Hanan. Rav Hanan, as we started today's daf, says it has to exceed 10 amos, because anything up to 10 amos is just simply a Pesach. And Rav Huna says no. Once it exceeds four tefachim, right, just a shade over a foot, once it exceeds over four tefachim, that's going to be considered a breach. Both of them are citing Rav as the source of their position. Rav Huna cites Rav based on an episode that happened in the town of Damcharia. Rav Hanin says, no, that's anecdotal. Don't look at that as a case. That should not be a case study which we should be learning things from. And then we analyze the case of Mavui Akum. In the case of Mavui Akum, the bent Mavui and the L-shaped Mavui, so how do I view this as one Mavui or two Mavuis? That's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's one singular Mavui, and consequently, it's Mavui Mefulash. It's a Mavui that opens up on both ends, and the only rectification is Surasa Pesach plus Alechi at both ends. There's another version of Rashi which I didn't go through right now, but for our time, for our purposes, it's already enough. Surasa Pesach with a lechi on both ends, and Shmuel says no. Shmuel says that it's a mavui sasum because we view it as two different mavuis, and so therefore it's a mavui sasum which only requires a lechi at both ends, and that would be sufficient. Good. But what we gain from the story of Mavui Yakum is that according to Rav, why is the mavui mefulash? Because I have a breach. I have a breach over here. I have a breach over here. So that's good evidence for Rav Huna that once you have, even though it's 10 amas, and even though you could have called that a Pesach, that compromises the Mavui, and therefore it cannot look at it as a Mavui Sasam, which the Gemara cites as support for Rav Huna. What did Rav Hanin say in defense of his own position? Traffic. Since in that Mavui there's traffic over there, that can't be compared to that. And then the Gemara concedes that everybody agrees that if there's a little ridge, if the breach is not a complete breach, but there's a little bit of a ridge, so then everybody would agree that even up to 10 amos, that would not compromise the integrity of the mavui. Okay. Adkan, that's the first part of today's daf. And now we move on to Rishus HaRabim. It's an important question. It's the correct question. You're going to see that's going to play into the second half of today's daf. Okay, that very question. Tanu Rabbanan Ketzah Ma'ar Vin Derech Rishus HaRabim. How do you make an error for Rishus HaRabim? Now, as the Gemara is about to point out, that question doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. Meaning, the Gemara is going to say this. I'm just giving away, foreshadowing a little bit of the Gemara upcoming. If you have something with the status of Rishus HaRabim, you can't make an error. Okay? which is, by the way, why there are sometimes arguments, debates about making an Erev in central cities like Manhattan, like Brooklyn. Okay, but without getting modern and current, although that's important, extraordinarily, but without getting modern and current, once you have something with status of Rishus Rabbim, you can't make an Erev. So even the statement as is made in the Gemara is going to be a little bit modified. But in the meantime, however, just reading the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzim Arvin Derech Rishus Rabbim, how do I make an Erev for Rishus Rabbim? Oh, it's a Tzor Tzapesach Mikan. I put a Tzor Tzapesach on one side, Velechi Vikara Mikan, Alechi and a car on the other side. That is opinion number one. So Chananya quotes Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai is quoted as saying, make a doorway over here. Delos means physical door, right? We haven't seen that yet. Now we have. Make a physical door on one side, make a physical door on the other side. Noel. And then as you, upon entering an entrance into the doorway, close the door, lock the door. And Beis Hillel says, no, make a delos on one side, make a lechi or a kor on the other side, and that's how you rectify. Okay. So what we have over here so far is a question of how to close up a Rishus HaRabim, allowing me to make an Erev in a Rishus HaRabim area. And we have so far three opinions. But the Gemara now comes back and says, what are we even talking about? Rishus HaRabim mima arve? You can't make an Erev surrounding a Rishus HaRabim. V'atanya, yes, okay, I'm Rav Yehuda. We have the following dialogue. Rav Yehuda goes even one step further. Now, we're thrown into a middle of a discussion. What do I mean? He goes one step further. We'd like to know what the first step is before we find out what his second step is. So if you take a look at Rashi, inside Rashi goes on to explain, he's describing where there is a Rishus HaRabim, there are houses on the two sides of the Rishus HaRabim, and there's a little bit, there's a bridge or poles at the two edges of the Rishus HaRabim, and as we discussed just in yesterday's daf, we have this concept known as Pi Tikra Yored Vesosim, that the edge of the those sticks go down, and so therefore it creates complementary walls on the two sides of the street. But, and I say this in passing because it's not the main point of the Gemara, yes, sir, Al-Kain, Rav Yehuda goes now even one step further, which is, Amar Rav Yehuda, Misha Ayelo Shnei Batim Mishnei Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Let's say I have Rishus HaRabim run through the center of town. I have two houses on the two sides of the Rishus HaRabim facing one another. Ose lechi mikan, velechi mikan. Okar mikan, vekar mikan, venose, venosein be'emtsa. So all I need to do is just put a lechi on one side or a lechi and a lechi on the other side, or put a kar on one side and a kar on the other side, and you're good. Meaning, let's just make sure that we understand. According to Rav Yehuda, two walls, not even on a bracket, not even perpendicular, two walls running parallel to one another actually creates the Rishus Yachid, and so therefore, a simple rectification on one side and a simple rectification on the other side allows me to carry in between the two. But fundamentally, the two walls running parallel one to one another is considered Rishus Yachid. Now, what you got to watch carefully now is the response and the reaction to Rav Yehuda's position. Amru lo, and Marvin Rishus HaRabim Bekach. You're out of your mind. Meaning, that's the Rishus HaRabim. I'm happy that there's a wall on one side and a wall on the other side. That doesn't change the status of what it is. It still is the Rishus HaRabim. And so, and you can't make an Erev for Rishus HaRabim. Now, he says Erev, meaning, what he means by that is a simple rectification of Lechi or Kor on one side, Lechi Kor on the other side. That's not going to change the status. It still is the Rishus HaRabim, and you can't convert a Rishus HaRabim into an enclosed area. It's that simple. Without, by the way, let me caution everybody, without actual physical walls. Well, of course, once you put physical walls around, so then obviously you can turn it, transform it into Rishus Yachid, but short of that, you can't do that. Now, perhaps you'd like to suggest the following. Okay, so I understand that Lechi Kor is insufficient, but maybe doors. Maybe if I put doors on either side or on both sides, maybe that would be good. Well, let's take the city of Yerushalayim, right? Perfect study, which is that it's a city and there's traffic, tremendous traffic running through Yerushalayim, and you have streets running through Yerushalayim, and let's talk about the main street of Yerushalayim, and let's assume, and I know it's assuming a lot, but let's assume that the main street of Yerushalayim is running end to end, and you have an opening on one side of the wall, an opening on the other side of the wall. So what does that give the status of to Yerushalayim? Ostensibly, what you could say is that Yerushalayim is the Rosh HaSarabim. And Rav Yochanan makes the following statement. The only thing that saves Yerushalayim from being a Rosh HaSarabim is that every single night we close and lock the doors to the city. Meaning there's a wall running around Yerushalayim, but it's only because we close and lock those doors that Yerushalayim is saved from being a Rosh HaSarabim. Which clearly means that if the doors were open constantly, meaning it has doors, but if those doors were open, constantly open, Yerushalayim would be a Rosh HaSarabim. So you see that even doors, physical doors, cannot convert a Rosh HaSarabim into any other status. It remains a Rosh HaSarabim. And only because the doors of Yerushalayim are closed and locked at night is Yerushalayim not a Rosh HaSarabim. V'yamar u'la hani avula d'mechuza. Wait, can we pause for just a moment? Yes, we can. All right, so now what comes out over here is the following. So we go back now to the original Braisa, second half of today's daf, and we were asking the question, how do you rectify, how do you fix the Rosh HaSarabim? Now we see the question is fundamentally flawed. Once I have something with the status of Rosh HaSarabim, you can't, Lechi, Kora, Deles, Tzurus HaPesach, meaning nothing can fix it. Nothing can change it. It remains the Rosh HaSarabim, and I can't carry in such an area with any of these quote-unquote modified rectifications. What I would need to do is actually construct walls or locked doors. Locked doors, by the way, is the same thing as a wall. I'd have to construct walls or locked doors in order to perfectly enclose the area and change the status from Rosh HaSarabim to a Rosh HaSayachin. So now that we know that the question is fundamentally flawed, so what do we even mean? And I should have read one more line. But anyway, but the Gemara says we have the same issue in Mechuza. In the town of Mechuza, which is a walled city, and again, there's a lot of traffic going through the main streets of Mechuza, it's only because the doors are locked every single night that it does not have the status of Rosh HaSarabim, which again, brings us to the same point and the same conclusion. That if the doorways were not locked every night, it would have the status of Rosh HaSarabim. So Amar Rav Yehuda Hachi Kamar. So Rav Yehuda says, you're right, the question is fundamentally flawed. We got to go back, we got to review the question, and we got to propose now a new suggestion to what we're even talking about. Ketzer Ma'arvim Mavos, I'm a Falash and Rosh HaSarabim. How do I rectify a Mavui, which is a Mafulash? Okay? I go back all the way to the right-hand side. I remove the back wall over there. I'll do it. I'll remove the back wall over here. We have a Rosh HaSarabim on this side. I have a Rosh HaSarabim on this side. And now this is no longer a Mavui Sasam, but now it's a Mavui Mefulash. And the question over here is the following. Simple question. How do I rectify not the Rosh HaSarabim? There is no rectification of the Rosh HaSarabim. How do I rectify the Mavui Mefulash? That is the question. So, Ketz Ma'avim Mavuaz Mefulash and Shos Rabbim Oseh. Surah Sabesach Mikan Velechid Vekar Mikan. So that's, and then the Braisa goes on to explain, and now we're going to have our three opinions. So, quickly to review, our three opinions are, first of all, the opinion of the Tanakhama. You can turn back the page, you can see back on the previous Sambun. So, according to the Tanakhama, Surah Sabesach on one side, which closes it off, meaning not physically, but halachically. Then I'll put either a Lechi or a Korah on the other side. According to Chananya, Beit Shammai says you have to make a door on one side and a door on the other side. And furthermore, upon exiting or entering, the doors have to be closed and locked. Okay? In other words, according to Beit Shammai, you know what that Mavui Mefulash is? It's really part of the Rosh HaSarabim. And so therefore, you need actual physical doors, and more than just physical doors, locked and closed, in order to change its status. And Beis Hillel, Omri Moshe Delos Mikan, V'lechi V'kor Mikan. And according to Beis Hillel, a door on one side, and a lechi and kor on the other side. Okay? Three opinions. Now, obviously, of those three opinions, we can already remove Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai, B'makom Mishnah, Beis Hillel, Eino Mishnah. So, basically, we're down to now two opinions. The first opinion is Surah Sapesach on one side, Lechem Kor on the other side. And the other opinion, quoted by Hananya, according to Beis Hillel, is a door on one side and then Lechem Kor on the other side. Okay. Who do we follow on this issue? So, Itmar, Rav Amar Hilchasa Ketana Kama, Ushmol Amar Halacha Kechananya. Now, so Rav says the halacha is like the Tanakama. Shmuel says the halacha is like Chananya. Okay, so far so good. Ibailahu, which means according to Rav, you need a delos on one side. According to Shmuel, no, I'm sorry, I take it back. According to Rav, you need a tzoros pesach on one side and a lachin kor on the other side. And according to Shmuel, no, you actually need a physical door on one side. Now, one loose end that we need to tie up is the following. Shmuel says the halacha is like Chananya. When he says Chananya, obviously he means Chananya, according to Beis Hillel. And that means that we have to have a door. Door needs to be locked or not locked. The Gemara discusses Tashma, Damar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, in Tzarech Lenol. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel, not necessary to lock it, just simply a door. V'chein amar of Masna, amar Shmuel, einot tzarech linol, does not need to be locked. Ika da amar of Masna, abididi hava uvda v'amar Shmuel, ein tzarech linol, and another version, but the same point, I ask Shmuel, Shmuel says door does not need to be locked. Balmi neymar av anan, tzarech linol, ein tzarech linol, amar lehu tachazi hani avula de Naharda, the doorways of Naharda, otherwise known as the community of Shmuel, the Tumanah Pagai Ba'afra, where there was sand that basically prevented the doors from opening and closing. And Shmuel said nothing, meaning that even though the sand blocked up the doors, Shmuel said nothing. Amarav Kahana Hanach Megufo Savai. So the argument is over there, well, maybe you could say that those doors were partially closed, and that's why Shmuel didn't say anything. But it's not a clear proof that the doors have to be necessarily closed nor open. When Rav Nachman got there, he said, I want you to remove the sand. Rav Nachman sarach lino, which makes it sound like he wants the doors not only closed but locked. So lo, Kevin, the ru'uyos lino l'afabishayin and analos. So the Gemara says, no, it's sufficient as long as they fit... Sorry. As long as they're fit to be closed, even though they're not actually closed. Okay, now, let's take it all in before we move on to the next part of today's daf. Okay. If I have Rishus HaRabim, nothing to talk about. Literally nothing to talk about. Once I have Rishus HaRabim, it cannot be rectified. Not a door, not a Tzoros HaPesach, not a lechi, not a korah. There's nothing to talk about. Source of Pesach cannot be rectified. Good. That's the starting point of the whole discussion. What if I have and the only thing that you could do is close it up, meaning like Yerushalayim, like the town of Mechuza, where there it could have been called the Rishus HaRabim, but every night we close and lock the doors, and that's why Yerushalayim is not a Rishus HaRabim, and that's why Mechuza is not a Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so but that's the only thing to have. That's the only thing we could say regarding Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. What if it's a mavui mafulash, like over there, where it's a alleyway that exits to two Rosh Hashanah Harabims? So, what is the status of that?
Sorry,
it's okay. It's fine. What's the status of that? So there we have a three-way machlokus, and then amongst the Amoraim, two end halachic points in terms of what we should do. According to Rav, simply put a Tzoros HaPesach on one side, put a Lechi or Korah on the other side, you're good. Now you can carry within the Mavui Mefulash. According to Shmuel, a door on one side, and then a Lechi Korah on the other side. And the only question that we have left, according to Shmuel, is the door has to be closed and locked? Unclear. Okay? Okay, and now, okay, wonderful. Now, Hedy, you took us right to where we need to be. Okay, just a couple more minutes. Hahu mavui akum dahava ben Naharda. There was an L-shaped mavui in Naharda. Now, to be perfectly honest, and that brings us.
So the girls usually dive in 205, 206, will be in 204, 205. I like Tuesday.
The. To be perfectly honest, the our Mavui Naharda looked like this one over here. Rishus Arabim, and the Mavui was not an L shape, but rather a U shape. Okay. We're not going to change the basic point, which is the following. Rami Aleha, Chomer Darav, Chomer Dishmuel. So here, they went strict on both points, which is the following. Atzrechu Delsos. Sorry. Rami Aleha, Chomer Darav, Chomer Dishmuel. But Atzrechu Delsos. Chomer Darav, Damar Tarasikim Mefulash. And here's what they did. First of all, how do I view this Mavui? Closed Mavui or open Mavui? That was one of the first points we discussed in today's daf. So in the town of Naharda, they said, Mavui Mefulash, open Mavui, which now means that a simple Lechi and Korah won't be enough, but actually needs to be further rectified. Now, what kind of further rectification? So if you asked Rav, and you went back all the way to my right side, so Rav would say, Tzoras HaPesach. But no. In other words, what they required is actual doors. So in other words, on the fundamental issue of how to look at this Mavoi, Sasam or Mefulash, so Mefulash, like Rav. And then on the question of, now that's a Mavoi Mefulash, well, how do we fix a Mavoi Mefulash? Oh no, there we're going to go like Shmuel. And Shmuel says it needs a doorway. Now exactly where to put the doorways, take a look at Rashi over here. You can actually see the picture in your Gemara itself. We're going to put a door over here and a door over here. Okay. And so now the Gemara says, that's not fair what you did. Meaning, what's not fair? If you asked Rav, how are we going to look at this? So Rav says, well, yes, I'll look at it as a Mavui Mefulash, but then all I need to do is just simply put it to a Pesach, and presumably in the corners. And if you're Shmuel, what would you do over here? Well, Shmuel says, look, it's two separate Mavuis. And all I would need to do is just simply put a Lechi Kor in the end. And over here, what happened in Nahada is that on the question of how to look at this Mavui, Mavui Mefulash, like Rav. In terms of the rectification of the Mavui, doorways, like Shmuel. So now, you're jumping from Rav's Chomra to Shmuel's Chomra. And as the Gemara is about to point out, you can't do that. That's not right. So, the Itzrechu Dalasos Chomra de Rav, Tarasaka Mefosh, Vamar Rav Halacha Tanakama, Kishmuel Damar Halacha Kechananya, Vamar Shmuel Tarasaka Sasam, Karav Damar Tarasaka Kemefulash. And so now, what is going to take our attention of the Gemara, which is really going to turn into such an unbelievable discussion, is the following. And that is, do we have the right to do that? Can we pick chumras out and apply chumras of different amarayim for one case? Which in this case in Naharda they did, and the Gemara wonders, are you allowed to do that? And the Gemara is not going to wonder. The Gemara is going to say emphatically, you can't do that. So tomorrow's daf, what we're going to be discussing is, what gave them the right to choose Rav's Chumrah and say it's a Mavul Mefulash, and then to apply Shmuel's Chumrah and to require Delasos. Okay? That is, so just quickly to review today's daf. The first question we dealt with is, what is a Pirsa in a Mavui that compromises the integrity of the Mavui? That's a Machlokus between Amarayim, Rav Chanin versus Rav Huna. Rav Chanin says it has to exceed 10 Amos, and Rav Huna says no. 4 Tfachim already compromise the integrity of the Mavui. And then we went to the case of Mavui Akum, and we discussed the case of Mavui Akum. Do I look at it as one Mavui or two Mavuis? That's a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says we look at it as one thoroughfare Mavui. Shmuel says no, we look at it two Mavuis. And then it's a question of how to rectify it. And then we moved on to discuss today, if I do have a Mavui Mefulash, how do I correct the Mavui Mefulash? That's also a machlokus between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says it's Tzoras HaPesach on one side would be enough. Then, of course, on the other side, Lechi Korah. And Shmuel says, no, you need a Dalas on one side. And then Lechi and Korah on the other side. And then what we left ourselves off with today is this case of the Mavui Mefulash and Naharda, where fundamentally they called it a Mavui Mefulash, and then they assigned Shmuel's Chumrah of having doorways in order to correct and rectify. And tomorrow we're going to ask the question, well, how can you do that? How can you choose chumras? And that is today's daf. Just one last point about from today's daf, which is extraordinarily important, and that is the following. If you take a look at Rashi, And Rashi on the Amud Aleph, Rashi writes, you know, I keep throwing around the term Rishus HaRabim. What is a Rishus HaRabim? So Rashi writes that the definition of Rishus HaRabim is asked to be 16 amas wide. And then Rashi goes on to write, Ir Shemitsuyim Ba Shishim Riboy. And the city's population has to be 600,000. Okay? Where did Rashi see that in the Gemara? The interesting part is that the Gemara never actually says that. Okay? Rashi makes an assumption. Why does Rashi make an assumption? Because look, what defines the Rishus HaRabim, I mean, we saw this in Shabbos time and again, is what was in the desert. As we march through the desert, so that is what's going to define Rishus HaRabim. The width, we remember we had that long discussion regarding the wagons, side by side, running side by side. So the wagons were running 16 amas apart, right? In fact, if you remember, I remember so clearly, I mean, I remember so little, so I'm excited. I remember so clearly we had the wagons running side by side. There were actually 15 amas, and we were trying to struggle where to get that 16th ama. But in the meantime, however, the wagons were 16 amas apart, and so therefore, that creates the dimensions of the Rishus HaRabim, and then Rashi assumes, well, population as well. There were 600,000 people there, so therefore 600,000 is a criteria of what defines the Rishus HaRabim. According to Rashi, if I have short of 600,000, even though I have the dimensions of the Rishus HaRabim, that's not a Rishus HaRabim. That allows for a lot of leniencies regarding creating an Eruv in a city. Because if I don't have 600,000, even though I may have the dimensions of Rishus HaRabim, that's not a Rishus HaRabim, because I don't have the population. Okay, you see where we go with this Rashi, meaning, and is this Rashi brought down la halacha? Well, I'll discuss a little bit more of that tomorrow. Anyway, we'll stop over here. Rabbi Chanan, you made a kasha amar, ratzak hashbach, hazak, 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 hazak,